things that are better. If you'd like to find your place in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, I'd like for us to preach on this subject of things that are better. It reminds me of the song found in our hymn book, I Am Resolved. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. And I'm telling you, we live in a day where people are trying to cancel everything. They've been trying to cancel the Word of God for many years. But God says for us to put our sights on things that are better. And I would like for us to look at that in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Here we're going to find that word better mentioned several times. And God's going to take us in these few verses that we're going to read here in Ecclesiastes 7. God's going to take us through the different stages of life. And He's going to remind us of things that are better. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, which is the cause, that the former days were better than these. For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good for an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. You see, the wisdom of God is far better than the wisdom of man. You see, wisdom instructs us on the value of having a good name with God, having a good reputation with God, and that it's much better than wealth. There in verse 1 it says, a good name. A good name is better than precious ointment. You see, verse 1 is not speaking about having a good name or a good reputation with our neighbors. You know why? Because that type of reputation will only last as long as we don't do something bad, or as long as we don't do something that our neighbor does not like. And then you go from being the best neighbor in the world to being the sorriest neighbor in the world in just a snap of a finger. Hey, and they'll try to find every fault in you. Verse 1 is not talking about the reputation there with our neighbors. Like I said, that can be changed in just one action, one word. But verse 1 speaks of having a good name or a good reputation with God. Something that will last for eternity. You see, a man can accomplish much during his life, and he can even have a good reputation or a good name with the men and women in his community. But if he dies without Christ, then he's going to wind up just like that certain rich man found in Luke chapter 16. In Luke 16, there's a story of a certain man who fared sumptuously, the Bible says.
every day. And as far as this world's concerned, that man had it all. He had a good name in his community. But the problem was, this man did not have a name with God. God referred to this man as just a certain rich man. There's going to be millions and millions of certain men and certain women who one day will stand before Jesus, and they're going to go on and on about all that they accomplished in this life and on this earth. They're going to boast of everything that they'd ever done. But Jesus is going to look at them and say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." You see, you can live a great life here on this earth. You can have all the comforts that this world can afford. You can even be a pillar in your community. Hey, you can have a good reputation with men, but if God does not know your name, then everything you've accomplished on this earth will be in vain. You know, for a long time here in our country, people considered Abraham Lincoln a good president. But now, with this cancel culture that's going around, people are wanting to take down the statues. My, how quick things can change, right? If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The first thing that God mentioned in our passage that was better. It says it's better to have a good name than precious ointment. In Hebrews chapter 11, we find the story of a man. We have his testimony that he had a good name with God. He had a good reputation with God. Here we find in Hebrews chapter 11 the testimony of Enoch. We read of the reputation that he had with the Lord. You got to remember, Enoch lived pre-flood. He lived in a time where men's thoughts were evil continuously every day. That kind of sounds like the days we're living in. But in Hebrews chapter 11 here in verse 5 it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him." And listen to these words. "For before his translation he had this testimony." This was his reputation with God. This was his name with God, that he pleased God. Hey, Enoch hadn't always walked with God. The Bible says that at the age of 65, that's when he started walking with God. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all born sinners, and because of our sins, we've come short of the glory of God. So how can a person who was born a sinner, who's come short of the glory of God, how can that person become pleasing to God? How can a person have a good reputation and a good name with God? Well, the answer is found in our next verse there in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Hey, the wisdom that comes from God is going to instruct us that having a good reputation with God, having a good name with God, being pleasing unto God is better than gaining the whole world and losing one's own soul. Oh, let's pray for our outreach ministries of this church. Hey, let's pray for our gospel mailers as we mail them out. Let's pray for our door-to-door efforts. Oh, it's imperative that the world hear and listen to the wisdom that comes from God. We'll turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In our passage here in verse 5, it says, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." What is the song of fools? Well, there's one thing I can tell you about that song of fools. It's the same song everywhere in the world, no matter what language, no matter what country. Hey, do you remember there when they were in the house there and with Jesus, the disciples, and those that were set down to eat, and Do you remember the thought there when that woman came and she anointed Jesus' feet there with that costly ointment? Oh, how you could hear the song of fools. All at once, some that were present there, the Bible says they were filled with indignation. Boy, they started singing that song of fools. Oh, they weren't happy with the choice of that woman. Oh, for them, they thought that what she did and that perfume that she put on Jesus was being wasted. Oh, they said it could have been sold and given to the poor. Oh, but I like what Jesus said about what she did. Jesus said that she hath done what that she hath done shall be spoken of. Listen to this. For a memorial of her. Hey, this woman chose to have a good reputation with God. Oh, we'd better be careful listening to the song of fools. Oh, in our passage, the wisdom of God, it tells us that it's better for us to keep the end in sight. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 here in verse 2, it says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. You see, God's wisdom tells us that one day we're all going to appear before God. And it's better for us to go to the house of mourning. Hey, that don't mean that we have to live a sad life, but we better keep eternity in sight and to be reminded that one day we'll all appear before Jesus, and that only what I did for God down here on this earth is going to make a difference. The song of fools says, the one who dies with the most toys wins. But what does the wisdom of God say? God says, lay up treasure, sells treasures in heaven. Much different than what the world says. The world says, live it up. Live it up. Get all you can while you can. God says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Let me ask you this question this morning. Are you rich toward God? Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Because God tells us to do it. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to see another song of fools here. You see, the song of fools says, do what feels good to you. Hey, it's your life. Live it up. Life's a big party. Hey, let's just drink and eat because tomorrow we die. Let's just live for the day. How many young people have said to their parents, hey, it's my life. You can't tell me what to do. It's my life. I'm going to live the way I want to. But you know what's even more sad than that? That open rebellion is that closed rebellion. How many young people living in Christian homes? Oh, on the outside, they appear to be going along with what's in the house and the rules that are set forth. They're for their protection. They're for their well-being. They're to point them toward the things of God. But how many young people, oh, on the inside, hey, they're saying the same thing. I can't wait to get out from under my mom and dad's rules because I'm going to live the way that I want to, the way that feels good to me. That's what I'm going to do. Let me tell you something. That's the song of fools right there. In Luke 12, we have the parable of a certain rich man. Boy, here again, we've got a man who does not have a name with God. And you know what he's doing? He's singing the song of fools. In Luke 12 here in verse 19, it says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, but let me tell you something. God's not listening to that song of fools. Oh, this guy may talk to his own soul there, and he may convince himself that that's the way to live and to live it up there while he can. But listen to what God's going to say. Let's listen to the wisdom of God about this thing. In Luke 12, here in verse 20, it says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Hey, this certain rich man, he lived according to the song of fools. He lived as if he would never have to give an account for his life. Oh, how many people in our community, how many people in Myrtle Beach, how many people in Horry County, they live each and every day with those same thoughts. They live as if Hebrews 9:27 is not in the Bible. They live as if that verse that says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment," oh, they live as if that verse does not exist. But the wisdom of God says, we'd better keep the end in sight. We'd better keep in sight the fact that there is an appointment. There is an appointment unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. For those who are saved, we're going to have to give an account for all that we did for Jesus. All the time we spent here on earth and what we spent our time doing. I hope it'll be said of you and me that we were laying up treasures in heaven. For those who are not saved, they're going to face Jesus at the great white throne judgment. And the song of fools says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The song of fools says to live as if there is no God. Live as if you don't have to give an account to anyone. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. What does God say about that way of thinking? The wisdom of God says in Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hey, I'm going to tell you, the days that we're living in, it's not popular to stand for God. I'm telling you, if you live your life in accordance to biblical truths, then you're going to be vilified in the society that we live in. Hey, and I'm going to tell you something else that's even worse than that. If you live according to biblical values, you may even be vilified by others who call themselves Christians. Having biblical views is seen as being against society in the day we're living in. Go ahead and say that you're against the Equality Act and see people's response. See if they agree with you. Say you're against transgender boys competing against girls. Hey, say anything that does not agree with the radical, progressive, liberal, Democrat movement and see how you're going to be viewed by this world. Hey, but let me remind you of the wisdom of God. Having a good name with God is better than precious ointment. It's better than all this world can afford. It's better than having a good reputation with this world. Oh, the Bible tells us there in Galatians chapter 6, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Oh, how are we going to avoid fainting in the days that we're living in? Oh, let me give you a few points here. One, we must resolve to be faithful to the Word of God. Psalms 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Oh, you see, the word of God will make us wise. Psalms 119:98 says, "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." Psalms 119 and verse 104 says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I'm going to tell you, if we're going to avoid fainting in the days that we're living in, hey, then we're going to have to resolve to be faithful to the word of God. We're going to have to resolve to be faithful to the work that God has given us to do. Hey, let me remind you that even though it's not popular to live for that which is right and according to the Word of God, people still need to hear the gospel message. It's still our duty to give the message of God out, that message of hope to those who are in desperate need. Oh, may we resolve to be faithful in our witnessing. May we resolve to be faithful in doing the will of God. Oh, to avoid fainting, then we must resist becoming weary. That word weary means to become discouraged. Turn with me to Psalm 73. Psalms chapter 73. Here we have the story of Asaph. He's a man of God. And in doing right, he became weary in well-doing. He became discouraged. He came to a point where he said, "What's the use? It seems like everybody's going in that direction. Why am I standing against that? Why am I standing for the truth when it seems like everyone else is going further and further away from the truth?" Let's pick up the story here. In Psalm 73 and verse 2, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Oh, what happened here? Oh, the psalmist had took his eyes off the Lord. Oh, he had become weary in well-doing. And he started listening to that song of fools. He became discouraged. He was weary. Oh, but thank God he didn't stay there. Thank God he became revived when he listened to the wisdom of God. Read down there in verse 16. It says, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end." Hey, remember, better is the end of something than the beginning. Oh, he considered the end of things. Hey, the harvest will come in due season. God has promised it if we faint not. Oh, what are some things that are better according to God? Having a good name with God is far better than precious ointment. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Do you have a name with God? Or will you just be known as a certain rich man or a certain rich woman? Please don't fall for the song of fools. Don't fall for that song that says, "Hey, I'm a good person. I can live any way I want to." The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." God says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You will face the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not want to die in your sins. Because just like that certain rich man that I spoke about in Luke 16, you will lift your eyes in a place called hell. Christian, let's not grow weary in well-doing. Hey, we live in a time where being a Christian is not widely accepted. Having biblical views is not a popular thing in our society, even with our families. But they're still right in the sight of God. The wisdom of God says,
It's better to keep the end in sight. Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Are you living as if you will give an account for what you did for Jesus? The Bible says that we will reap if we faint not. Hey, don't quit. Keep sowing. Keep living for God, because ye shall reap if you faint not.